Blog Talk Radio.
I'm still here. Yep, I was just waiting 1 second. I was letting.
Okay, so I'm gonna. Am I gonna hear the music?
Yes.
Okay. Good. So I'll just start talking whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Carolina home, had dreams about the West and started to roam. 6 long months on a dust covered trail. They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell. And there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, holding them.
I'll just edit it. I'm sorry about that. You could I'll just edit the open and the music in. I'm not sure why. When I started pressing play, it turned the recorder off. Odd.
So what do I do? I just start anytime?
Yep. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. 3, 2. Hello, everybody. This is Dirty Dutch for another great edition, hopefully a great edition, of the University of Dutch podcast. I'm joined today by my co-host, John Paz, who also does a podcast called The Two-Man Power Trip. And, John, you can tell us later where to find that. But, John, how are you doing?
Doing pretty damn good, Dutch. I can't complain. I mean, it's getting crazy out there in the real world, but I can't complain out here in the podcast world.
Well, it is crazy out there. And let me do a little house cleaning here. Today is going to be my bitch podcast. I'm going to bitch and moan and groan and carry on, as they say, about some of the things that actually bother me in the world of professional wrestling. Usually I don't bitch that much because I take things as I see them, and they are what they are, and I've been in this business long enough to know that, you know, even if you bitch about it, it'll change on its own sometimes just by the market will dictate what wrestling is going to be. But I want to tell everybody that this coronavirus is getting serious, very, very serious. I don't like to open a podcast up with negativity because it is a bad thing. It's a bad thing for the world. It's a bad thing for the country, and I hope everybody stays safe and follow the rules they tell you, people. I was listening to a thing today, and it's by Samuel. What's his guy's name? The black guy, Samuel. What's his name? Something Sam. Anyway.
I have no idea.
Keep your ass at home. He said, I don't care what you do, just keep your ass at home.
Oh, Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel Jackson. I can't even, hey, I've been hit on the head a couple hundred thousand times. That explains that. But he put a PSA out today and says, keep your ass at home, which is basically what they've been telling you to do. But they say it might peak in 2 weeks. But then again, who knows what it's going to do? Now, you may be noticing on the podcast that I may be like a week behind, and I have a reason for that, because when this coronavirus thing hit, John and I decided, hey, let's load up with a couple of podcasts, so if something happens, or something happens, you know, through the lines, or who knows what could happen, that we'll have one in the can, and we can always go back and play that. So, but we're going to try to catch that up soon, and I'll be talking currently more than I'm talking now. So now that I've said what I got to say, John, I want you to get in the car. I want you to get behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Start driving. We're leaving Tampa right now. We're headed to Miami. It's about a 3-hour trip, but we'll get our talking in about an hour, and I'll get all my good bitching in, and we can make this trip. But the first thing I want to say is, has anybody seen The Tiger King?
Oh, of course, of course. Netflix, yes.
Brother, that's my daughter. She's the one who got me to watch it. But I'm watching. I was reading all this stuff about The Tiger King, this and this and that. I said, you got to give it to Netflix. Because when they put the advertising out about something, you know, you're going to be like a hermit not to see it. I said, I'm going to watch this. So I sat down. I started watching it. And I'm not a binge watcher. The more I watched, every time it ended, I said, oh, shit, what happened? Then I go to the second one. Then I would go to the third one. Then I'd go to the fourth one. And I'm going to admit, there were a few things in there that literally shocked me in watching The Tiger King. Now, I'm down here in Tampa, Florida, now right above Tampa, Florida. And that Carol Baskin, if you saw any of it, Carol Baskin woman,
mm-hmm.
put the hit out on her place from where I'm living right now, where I am right now, is only about 20 minutes. So when this coronavirus scare is over, if I make it through, and there's no guarantee that any of us will make it through, but I'm going to go over there and see that. But this Tiger King, you know, he's a character, man. His name is, he calls himself Joe Exotic. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it. But Joe Exotic ran for governor. Then he ran for president of the United States. And he was openly gay and married two guys. He was married to two guys at the same time. And it's just, I've seen about everything. And I'm watching this guy and I'm going, what the hell? So I'm thinking, and John, I may have told you this right before we went on the air today. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at him. He's got blonde hair and he wears a cowboy hat and he's got a gimmick and he's, you know, Joe Exotic, of course, is not his name. He gave him the name Joe Exotic. And I'm thinking, you know, this guy's, he's kind of following the wrestling damned playbook pretty closely. And I'm thinking, there's got to be some connection here because he's out there in Oklahoma. And I said, there's got to be some kind of connection to pro wrestling here somewhere.
Oh, there is.
So I go to my friend Google. So I type in Joe Exotic. And all this stuff comes up. And he used to promote wrestling. And I said, I knew it. I goddamn knew it. That there was some connection to pro wrestling in this guy's past. And he promoted. And you can go to Google and look it up. His name is Joe Exotic. He's called Texoma Wrestling. Because he ran a little wrestling show, a little independent wrestling show, on the border of Texas and Oklahoma in Sherman, Texas. And, you know, he'd have pulled the whole show up. You know, he's got several clips there. And he'll pull the whole show up, and on one of them, he's doing the announcing. And, of course, he's in jail now for 22 years for putting a hit out on Carol Baskin. And the only good thing I can say about that is he saved the wrestling world from having to listen to his wrestling announcement. it was just horrible. And I'm looking, you know, sometimes when you start looking at something and Googling something, you know, more stuff pops up and more stuff. He had his picture made with a lot of wrestlers and, you know, they're in there. You can go see them. I can't remember who he had his picture made with, but, you know, pretty well-known names. And the show is just like what you expect a little independent show to be. And the matches were so-so. Excuse me. The matches were so-so. And the crowd is probably about 50, 60 people there. And just a little average independent show. He couldn't have made any money on it. But so that's my bitch number one. But I'm also going to tell you that if you get a chance to watch The Tiger King, please, I highly recommend it because – I watched, I don't know if it's 7 episodes or 8 episodes, but I watched them all in one night. And I never, you know, like I said, I never binge watch. But I did this, and I just couldn't get away from it. And I'm glad I did because I learned something anyway. Excuse me.
Great show, though. It's a great show. What do you think about, like you said, he's very wrestling-like. What do you think about his attire, the way he kind of carries himself? You think he's too gimmicky? He's almost got too many gimmicks going on.
Well, that was his gimmick. That's how he stood out from all the rest of them. And see, this Carol Baskin, woman, she's tried to, you know, be a animal rights activist, and he was doing this to the animals, and he was mistreating them. You know, at one time he had like 150 lions and tigers and pumas and cougars. That's a lot of cats. And these aren't small animals. These are animals weigh 400 pounds. So just his feed bill had to be outrageous. How did he feed it? You know how he made a living, right? He would load up all those cats and take a bunch of his buddies that he didn't pay, of course. It was all a big party. And he would go to like a little mall out in the sticks of Oklahoma and Texas that nothing really goes there. And he'd set up the little zoos, the little circles, I guess, where people could come in, and he would get booked in with like the local VFW or a local organization in the town. They would, you know, sponsor him, and they'd help him set up, and they'd help him get the date, and he would just set up in parking lots. And people would come in and take their pictures with the cats and pet the cats and do all that. That's how he made money. I bet he made, you know, some of those little towns, he may have took out $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in a week. And he didn't pay nobody. So it was all profit. Carol Baskin, you know, don't want to get ahead of the story, but she didn't like him doing that, you know, abusing the animals, and tried to shut him down, which resulted in him putting a murder hit out on her, which failed. And then result is he's in jail for 22 years. I don't think he'll be out anytime soon. So anyway.
He would have been an awesome guy for you to book, though. You would have loved booking him if he was involved in the wrestling business.
Well, yeah. Hey, if I'd have booked him, I'd have said, bring one of those cats in and put him in the ring. That's impressive. I mean, you tell me one other person that has booked a guy that took a tiger or a lion in the ring with him. Tell me that.
I clearly do remember Scott Steiner doing something like that, didn't he? Didn't Scott Steiner in WCW in the later days with Vinny Russo booking, didn't Scott Steiner bring out a tiger to the ring?
I don't remember it if he did. But guess what I'm going to do now since you brought that up?
Yes, you're going to check it out.
I'm going to Google it. As soon as I get off here, I'm going to go and Google Scott Steiner and a tiger in a WCW ring. But anyway, hey, folks, by the time you hear this, WrestleMania will be over. I think me and John, we are considering a special show right after WrestleMania, so it doesn't get too far ahead of us because, you know, we're a week behind, don't mean to be, and I can't really explain it. But we're thinking about doing a special show to talk about our recollection of WrestleMania. Now, talking about WrestleMania, excuse me again, I saw last week's show just clips of it. And let me explain that. I don't really watch Raw.
Nobody else does either, though. That's the problem.
I can't watch Raw. I really can't. Because this is me when I'm watching something. If it says 2 hours, okay, I can handle 2 hours, hour, 50 minutes, 2 hours, 10 minutes. But when he gets over that 2 hour and 15 minute, 2 hour and 20 minute mark, brother, that's a commitment.
Too long.
I'm not going to sit there, excuse me, for 3 hours and watch the show. I just can't do it. I get too restless. I don't want to sit there through all those commercials and this and that and hear the announcers. I mean, they're just shield everything they can possibly shield and try to sell this and sell that. I understand why they do it, but I just can't sit there. Cannot tell you the last time I watched the Raw in its entirety. Because
me neither.
Even when I was there, 2013, 2014, 2015, I was there when the show was going on and I didn't watch it. They would tell me, all right, you're on the top of the second hour, be at the go position about 10 minutes before. Okay, that's when I would go. But I wouldn't really watch anything up to then. Sometimes I would watch the opening to see what they would do and what they would, because I never asked what was going on the show. I was just working the show, just tell me what I got to do, and then I'll go and do it. But I didn't watch it then. I don't watch it now. Damn. Hope I'm not getting sick. But anyway. But
better not. You're gonna get me sick.
Oh, okay. Well, we're about 1,500 miles apart. So I'm watching some clips. You know, I told you about Google.
Oh yes, love
Google. Well, Google, you know, they catch you up on all the news that you follow. Of course, I follow wrestling, so all the stuff of Raw and SmackDown, it will come up in the feed somewhere. So I'm watching. I'm reading something about something. It's about wrestling, and all of a sudden, some clips pop up. This is what I want to. Who is the guy named? What is his name? I'll tell you in a minute. Who's the guy that missed the dive? What was his name?
Missed the dive.
He caught a dive on. They had a six man, I think, to do a dive to the outside, and he missed it.
This was from last week?
Oh, yeah. It was from Monday Night Raw.
Hmm.
By the time people hear this, it would probably be a week ago. Montez.
Oh, Montez Ford. Yes.
Yes.
Hey, Montez
Ford. I remember that. See, I'm getting better.
Look at that.
I remember
Damn.
That. I don't even know Montez Ford. I don't know these guys from, I'm going to use that word again, Adam's House Cow. I don't know them. But anyway, he says, WrestleMania. And he took off and hit the ropes, and he had just thrown another guy out. And the guy was supposed to catch him, I guess. And he went and dived over the rope, and the guy moved. And he landed flat on his back and spine on the ramp, part of the ramp, part of the floor. It looked horrible. I thought he'd hurt himself, really. So I'm thinking, guys, you know, I never caught guys from the ring. If a guy wanted to do a dive on me, I'd always tell him, nah, I don't really feel comfortable catching you. I'm going to tell you this really quick story. Owen Hart one time told me he wanted to do a dive. We were in Huntsville, Alabama, when I was with WCW. And he wanted to do a dive from the top rope to me onto the floor. Owen weighed then probably, he didn't weigh that much, but he weighed at least 215, 220 maybe. I probably weighed the same, maybe a little more. But, you know, when you try to catch your own weight coming off that top rope, and you know, you could hurt yourself. So, Owen, you know, if it's all the same to you, I'd rather not do that because, you know. He said, oh, well, if you don't want to do it, we won't do it. I said, no, don't get me wrong now. It's not that I don't want to do it. But if you do a dive on me on the floor, let me highly advise you to hook a parachute on your ass. Because I'm not going to be there, Owen, I'm going to tell you. So don't dive on me because I'm moving. And Moondog Spot, Randy Colley was my partner that night. And he hopped up, oh, I'll do it. And Owen was glad to hear that. So he did the dive on Moondog Spot. And guess what happened?
He got hurt.
He broke two ribs. So I made the right choice. So.
Oh, you must be clairvoyant there. Nice.
Well, see, some of these guys want to do these moves that make them, you know, I always heard this when I first got into wrestling business. It's not the pitcher, it's the catcher.
Mm.
And so if nobody's going to catch you, don't do it. You know, knowing the wrestlers like I do you think, even back in the day, I would go and do a dive over the top rope and expect half those doped up drunk bastards to catch me? All they got to do, if they don't like you, just part a little bit like parting of the Red Sea, and you just take a big splat out there and you hurt. And, of course, they're always going to say, oh, we missed you, we're sorry, but you still hurt. So I never did any of that, those high-flying moves. One thing, because I couldn't, and second thing is I didn't want to. But anyway, but I watched that move, and I'm thinking that is the biggest botch I've seen in a long, long time. And it's a damn wonder he didn't get hurt. I don't know. He could be hurt. You can only take so
yeah,
many.
Yeah, probably is hurt.
You can only take so many of those bumps before your hips go, your back goes, your knees go. So that's what the older guys used to tell the younger guys when they want to do all this stuff. Guys, save it. You better hold it back. Don't do it just for the hell of just to do it. See, the Undertaker used to drop the elbow off the top rope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I told him, I says, Mark, I'm going to tell you something. You're much too big to be missing the elbow off the top rope. I said, actually, you're too big to be dropping it. Because actually, the damage it's doing to you, you know, is far greater than what you're giving it to the guy. So you don't want to hurt him, but you are hurting yourself. So I saw him, I guess 10 years later, after I told him that, and he's limping. I said, what's wrong? He said, it's my hip. I said, why? He said, the hips kind of give me a problem. I said, well, yeah, I'm dropping that elbow too many times. I told you 10 years ago to quit it. And he said, well, I should have listened to you. He did acknowledge that. Jerry, you can't be 300 pounds dropping elbows like that. So.
Yep. Speaking of Taker, did you happen to catch his interview or the promo that he cut on Raw? I thought it was great.
You thought it was great?
Yes.
Did you really?
I liked it. You didn't like it? Wow.
I should drive up there and pull you out of your house and just beat you with a bullwhip.
Well, you didn't like it. Okay. All right.
Mm-mm. And I'll tell you why. Well delivered, I thought.
Yes.
This is the way I am. I know The Undertaker as The Undertaker. You know, I'm not going to get caught up that he's a dead man. He's a man of few words. I think he's much more effective saying less than more. And I didn't much like it. And I heard a lot of people say that it was probably the best interview he's ever done.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I did read that. I'm thinking, I thought it was like one of the, I don't know if you can hurt him at this point at all, because Undertaker is Undertaker. He's, you know, he's revered status. But for him to start talking about AJ Styles and talking about his wife, and I don't know, I just didn't, it just hit me in the wrong vein. I'm used to Undertaker being looking down at you and rolling his eyes and, you know, looking like the Undertaker always looked. And I didn't like it, and I might as well say this. I didn't like it when he did the biker gimmick years ago.
Mm.
Totally, totally out of character. But now he did it because it was his idea to do it. And it didn't hurt him, but I don't think it helped him at all. Nothing. So now let me bring this up while you got me here. Did you see the interview he did with his wife in the pool with the tiger on the little ski board? Or
yeah, wasn't it the Myrtle Beach Sanctuary too?
I guess it's like ironic that all of a sudden he's got a tiger or a big cat in front of him talking about save tigers and save the world and do this. I'm thinking, wait a minute, where did this come from? Listen, my whole world just got upside down this past week. All of a sudden, the Undertaker, not Undertaker, talking about the Tiger King, and
yep.
He's raising those cats, and all of a sudden, the guy's missing the dive out of the ring onto the ramp. I'm thinking, what the fuck happened to the wrestling business in 7 days? It all of a sudden, it hit the point, and I'm watching this stuff, and I'm saying, damn, what the heck? Now, WrestleMania will do well, I guess, because of just, experience, I guess, it's been there. It will do well because of the Super Bowl now. But, and it was in Tampa. I'm in Tampa now. And this is another thing I want to talk about. You know when they cancel this stuff, you know how much canceling WrestleMania hurt the Middle Florida area?
I bet it wasn't like $100 million or something like that?
At least $100 million. And I'm thinking $100 million? And, you know, when you start trying to figure out how in the hell is that $100 million, it's easily $100 million. Because they're going to rent that stadium two or three nights in a row. And they're going to and this is just the little stuff. All the airplane flights just for the talent, all the hotel rooms just for the talent, all the catering just for the talent, all the cars just for the talent and the production, and then renting the stadium and and all of a sudden now all the people are flying in from all over the world, and they're going to have hotel rooms, and they're going to eat, and they're going to go out. And I bet, and the WWE, you know, they have all these events all over the place, and it's a big, big payday for the WWE, a big payday. And you take a guy, and I was thinking about this the other day, you take a guy and say he's got a $200,000 downside guarantee on his contract. That's what they're paying him. And that means if he don't wrestle one day or appear on one TV, once he signs that contract, he's going to get $200,000, whether he wrestles or not, even if he gets hurt. But when he comes in, he will do, say, just a middle-of-the-card wrestler on a WWE roster. He'll do 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 signings. Of course, if people buy his gimmick picture and he signs it and he signs it and signs it, they will probably, just off that wrestler alone, they could easily do $50,000 just in gimmicks that week. But what does he get of it? Very little of it, really. He gets a percentage, but he doesn't get like half of it. He gets a percentage, but he earns his pay. Hey, I went to WrestleMania. I've been on 4 WrestleManias. I was on, I think, 95. 96. I worked on 95. 96, I didn't work on it. I was there, though. Then I worked on 2013 and 2014. Zona. But you work your asses off. Because I didn't mind working because, you know, I was, you know, WWE, they were taking care of me, and I appreciated that. But you really work hard. And the top guys like, I don't know, Cena and Brock, and let's go back, say, Stone Cold Steve Austin, bro, they racked in. I bet Austin, he probably just him on some WrestleManias probably took in $100,000 or more just himself. That's before the show. That's just selling stuff. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. You got any more questions here? And I got something else I want to tell you here.
Well, I was going to say, you know, kind of sticking with Raw, we're talking about Undertaker. You didn't like that interview. Now, something I didn't like, and I don't know if you saw this, but Becky Lynch, that Shayna Baszler, that whole angle, absolutely terrible. I don't know what your thoughts on kind of those two, and if you even saw that clip.
I did see that clip. But you didn't like it?
No, terrible.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Oh, wow, you liked it. I can't believe it.
No, it wasn't that good. Terrible. Terrible is an upgrade. Really. I'm watching it, and she's talking this, and, you know, and everybody says she's such a good talker. She's okay. I mean, but this is what they did. They tried to get an attack, and that girl's what? Shayna Baszler? Baszler?
Yeah, yep.
And you can tell I don't watch Raw. I just see the clips. But she's doing that in front of no people, no reaction, and then she chokes her out and leaves her laying and then poses to nobody in particular, to the camera, and then nobody, no referees, nobody. Did anybody help Becky up?
No.
Did anybody
I don't think so.
I didn't even notice.
I don't think so.
At least back in the old days, if a good guy got beat up, you know, to take the awkwardness out of it, we would send some referees or some other good guys, baby faces in there to help this guy up. Otherwise, I've seen baby faces on Raw just get the dog shit beat out of them. But apparently they're the most hated people in the dressing room, and they have no friends, and nobody comes to help them. So they get up and stagger out, and it was just terrible. I just didn't like it at all. I mean, I know what they're going for, and I know WrestleMania will do what it's going to do, and I know that WWE is in a bad situation, as is AEW. And let me ask you this. The NWA bunch, is that just strictly on the internet?
Yes, it's on YouTube.
So where do they tape that?
What is it, SGB Studios or GB? I forget, whatever, some studios in Atlanta, kind of where Center Stage used to be. Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, I know that. But it's not Center Stage, or it is Center Stage?
No, it's not Center Stage.
Okay. Well, so they can't have people either. Do you watch their show?
Yeah, yeah, but they've not been filming.
Oh, they hadn't been filming.
No, NWA stopped filming.
Now, I did watch a couple of those shows, parts of them. Actually, I kind of like those.
It's a small crowd, small audience, but it's good.
Well, I think they got more control, and I think that the crowd was pretty receptive. And, you know, they can talk right to the crowd. It's not like talking to a big arena. But I kind of like that show, and I kind of like the talent that Billy Corgan has there. I kind of like what they're doing. Actually, I think that's better than Raw, if you ask me.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So, and that's my opinion. But who gives a crap what I think?
GPB, GPB Studios is what it's called, to get it absolutely correct.
GTB.
GPB.
Well, you know, that could be. I'm just throwing it out there now. I used to wrestle when I first started. This was back in the days when Jim Barnett owned Georgia Championship Wrestling. You remember those days?
Oh, yes.
Well, they used to wrestle. A lot of people don't know this. They wrestled at the WTBS Studios. I think it's on Peachtree. That's
mm-hmm.
when Ted Turner was actively running the station. So I would, I was working, there was two groups in Atlanta running then. Because I was working for the Outlaw group, and it's a long story, but there were two groups that were running, and they were both on TBS back-to-back in the evenings. And it was like a two-hour show. We had an hour show. We'd do it in the morning, I think. And then in the afternoon, the other group would come in right after us. They taped their show, and we would start at 6:05, and their show would follow us at 7:05. One day, this is a just don't mean nothing for nothing, but I'm in the station, and Ted Turner walked in the dressing room or by the hallway, and guess who was with him? Sophia Loren.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And he says, "How you guys? Y'all?" He introduced. He says, "You all know Miss Loren." And hey, I was stunned. I went, I didn't say nothing. I just looked at her.
Mm.
He said, "Hi guys," and they walked down the hallway. And I'm thinking, well, how often does that happen? I mean, she was a huge, huge star then. And so, you know, I guess Ted liked her, invited her down to see the station. They had wrestling going on. He showed her the station, and off he went. Hey, here's another thing. I was in Miami Convention Center one night, and this was probably in the mid-70s, I think. And I'm standing in the back. Why I was standing at this certain area, I don't know. But I looked up, and there was a guy and looking like he was just going to walk out to the ring. And closer I looked at him, guess who it was? Jackie Gleason.
Whoa, awesome. Look at that.
And I'm thinking, what the hell? And I went up and introduced myself. I said, this is so silly. I went, hello, Mr. Gleason. I'm a big fan. He said, thank you, kid. And I said, what are you going to do? He said, oh, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do something with Harley tonight. And I said, okay, good luck. And he went in the ring and he did something with Harley Race. And I meant for years and years and years to ask Harley, even when I was – see him in different areas, different conventions or places that I would see him. What he did with Jackie Gleason, he was something in the ring and they was going to do something and I don't know. But crazy things sometimes this business brings about. You meet people you don't think you're going to meet. And even my granddaughter looked at me one day, she says, Papa, she calls me Papa. She said, you've lived an interesting life. I said, well, thank you very much. So my next thing, and I got a couple more bitches, and I'm not going to get away from it. Did you see, and you was going to ask me about this, Brock Lesnar.
Yes, Paul Heyman. Yep.
That's another bitch I got. That was one of the interviews that just, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just a regular Paul Heyman interview. And he says the same thing every interview.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sits there and looks at you like it, you know, it slaps you in the face. But when it's over, it doesn't instill you with any kind of, you know, it doesn't inspire you to take the show. It's just, to me, it's just a, and I think it will be a good match because at least it's different. I think it will be a good match. And he's against Drew McIntyre, correct?
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
Now, I think that will be a good match. And I think Drew McIntyre, if they handle that kid right, I think he has the potential, because I've known him since TNA. He has the potential to really – no, I've known him since actually I was in WWE with him. And I thought he had a lot of potential then. Then I went to TNA, and then he came there for a while. But that kid's got a lot of potential. He's big, strong, got that look to him. I think they have a star on their hands if they do the right thing with it. But that's like everybody. You got to do the right things. So now there's some people in WWE that I just don't get. Remember I said this is my bitch interview?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really don't get Seth Rollins. I don't get him. Good worker, always treated and always nice to me, but I just don't get him for some reason. I don't know why. And
I feel like he has no charisma. I mean, am I crazy in saying that?
Well, you could say that, but you know, when he comes to the ring, he, you know, this is what I was used to. You know, Stone Cold, they bust that glass. Here he comes, people go nuts. But he did a lot of other stuff. And then The Rock, when he comes to the ring, same thing. The people would come up. The Undertaker comes. Hogan comes. You know, all these big stars come, and you're kind of expecting the roof to come off. But when he comes, he's like a regular guy. Now, I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, and I think a lot of people that are listening to this might agree with me. But sometimes I look at WWE, a lot of those guys look the same.
Yes.
They, to me, really, they're good-looking guys, and I know they're in the movie business, too. I got all that. But they, to me, look like almost a junior college football team. They're young, 22, 23 years old. But I don't see anybody there that's going to make me back up and, like, fearful. We're the monsters. I mean, they have those Viking guys. They're like baby faces, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I like the big heavy set guy. What's his name?
Otis.
No, I kind of like him. He's different. See, when I broke into business, you had gimmicks. You had Abdullah the Butcher. Different. You had Stan Hansen, that gunslinging cowboy that would kill you. You would have, Bruiser Brody. You would have those guys and these. You would have a lot of – now, they can't do it today, but we would have those Japanese heels, you know, and I'm saying Tojo Yamamoto and Mr. Fuji and all that. But see, when they came off – when they first came on the floor, if they were Japanese or they were like a lot of Canadians, Americans that like them, but they told you what they were when they come through the gate. Or a mask guy. You know, you're not supposed to like a mask guy. But now it's all come down and they all look the same. And I think a lot of the WWE guys, they don't do anything that's going to really make you mad at them. I mean, if he wrestles as good as the good guy, what difference does it make? I mean, what is there to boo? Nothing. Problem. That's not my problem. You ready for my next bitch?
Yes, I can't wait for this one.
Oh, God, here we go, he said. Okay, you know I used to work in TNA.
Yes, sir.
And I worked there when Dixie Carter was there. And, you know, and I'm hearing some of the numbers that the NWA is doing. And, I mean, I'm sorry, the NXT and AEW. They're doing like 600,000, 800,000, which are good numbers, really, considering. But TNA, we used to do like 1.3, 1.2 almost every week. So I'm thinking, what are the numbers? But nobody was happy then. They weren't happy with it. the lady who ran it, Dixie Carter, oh, God, it's like the end of the world that we only did that. Can't you do better? Can't you do better? Well, we couldn't try any harder, but so we were trying to do better. But now they're Impact Wrestling, because they almost went out of business and they owed a bunch of money and they almost had a lawsuit. And, you know, Billy Corgan got involved in it and it was a mess. But this company out of Canada took it over, Anthem Sports, and they bought it out. Now they're running it and they're calling it Impact. Is it still TNA?
Impact. Yep.
It's just Impact now, okay?
Yep. Impact Wrestling.
And it's not a great show. It's not a bad show. It's just, you know, a lot like sometimes it just sits there and looks at you. But they do have a tremendous talent there, and it's that girl, Tessa Blanchard. Tremendous. I've watched her in all kind of matches. But this is where I think that Impact made a mistake. It gave them a little notoriety, but it just hits me wrong. Is Tessa Blanchard actually wrestles guys. Now, when I was in TNA before and we were on Spike, we were under strict orders not to have a man lay his hands on a woman. We did it one time, and oh, my God, the whole front office went nuts. They would just say, you're going to get us kicked off Spike, and we do, you're fired, and blah, blah, blah. I went, wait a minute. Hell, we can edit it out, surely, if it's that bad. But have you seen her wrestling, guys?
Yes.
And I was listening. It is
somewhat not as believable to me, for whatever reason.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm watching it, and the girl is very talented. You know, Tully Blanchard, he's I don't know who trained that girl, but I'm sure he had a hand in it. She's very athletic.
George South.
And George South, I got it. But she's trained to wrestle women, not men.
Right, right.
Unless the men, of course, are working with her, in this case, which they are, but which almost slaps the viewer in the face. And she's the Impact champion. She beats some guy for the title, and they're out throwing. It's a street fight. I don't know. To me, if she's the champion of the men, wouldn't she also be the champion of the women, hands down?
Yeah, right.
There's not even a contest. So, again, I'm on Google, and I run across this interview with Booker T, who I have a lot of respect for because he's been in the business. He's done it all. And he said it's one of the worst things that Impact could do. I don't know if it's one of the worst things they could do, but I think it does challenge the viewer. I mean, who can – it's a performance. You know it's a performance for her. You know, I saw her in a match with a guy. He had to be 6'10", and she's kicking him around, and, you know, he's doing this, and she's coming back on him. And I'm thinking, I don't know what some of these people are thinking. I mean – and I don't know how you could actually draw any money with that. I really don't. If I'm a guy and they want me to wrestle with Tessa Blanchard and she beats me, that means I got beat by a woman. And if I beat her, guess what? No big deal. You beat a woman. It defies every bit of logic that is left in this business, I think. Not my idea. Just my thoughts on it, and if they draw any money, it would surprise me. But she is a great talent. I'm not taking that away from her. She's a great talent. Have you seen it?
Yes, I do think she's a great wrestler. Actually, I think she's better wrestler than Becky Lynch and all the girls pretty much in WWE for the most part. But I just don't like the wrestling men part. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that. It's not believable to me. She's a great athlete and a great wrestler, but it's small and it's a woman against a man. I mean, believability factor is not there.
Well, to me, she's not even that big.
No, she's small, very small.
She's about 130, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe 130. And I saw a wrestling guy, he had to be 280. Nobody's going to believe that. And I'm not saying, I know it's wrestling. I got that. Well, you're supposed to suspend disbelief. But that's almost too much. I mean, in some matches, if you got her in a good girls match, you could kind of get into it back and forth, because they're evenly matched up. or even two guys, that big guys wrestling another big guy, you can kind of get into that. But with so much size difference, it's almost like, I don't know, who was one of the Dudley boys that was the little one? What was his name? Spike Dudley.
Spike Dudley, yep.
Well, Spike Dudley was just a bumping machine for some of those other guys because he was little. And if he went in there and held his own, you'd think, nah, that's not happening, even with a guy doing it. And even if you beat her up, it's kind of, where are you feminists on that? Why aren't they raising hell about that? Because don't we supposed to teach our kids, hey, guys aren't supposed to touch women?
Yeah, yep.
Right? And what all these damn abuse things they go to court about, and all of a sudden you're watching it on TV? I don't know. I think it sends a bad, bad message. I really do. So, got anything else you want to catch up on here while I'm in a good mood talking about it?
Clarify just so nobody goes crazy. Not against women's wrestling, just against the women wrestling men on, you know, wrestlers. It just doesn't make sense. It's just not believable. You know, you'll get complaints, oh, he's against women's wrestling. Oh, my God. Get with the times.
Well, no, I don't care what people think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just, I don't think you can sell a ticket with it. I really don't. Hey, listen, even a guy like Joey Ryan, and you know, he has the magic penis or whatever, I'm not even against that. I mean, if it sells tickets, okay, do it, because that's his performance. But you're only going to sell so many tickets for that performance. And a girl wrestling a man, you may sell a few tickets, but if you expecting some kind of a big sellout with it, you're not going to get it at all. There's no room to grow with her wrestling man, is what I'm saying. So, listen, I had somebody write me. Oh, let me bring this up. Did you see Tales from the Dark Side?
Dark Side of the Ring? Yes, excellent. Benoit was excellent, and New Jack was excellent.
Now, I've heard about this New Jack thing for years and years and saw the clip of him throwing that guy off scaffold.
The Grimes, yeah, XPW.
But
yeah.
I didn't know he tased him before he threw him.
I didn't realize that either.
I didn't know he tased him. And the guy said, I can't feel my legs. And he said, don't worry, you're not going to need them.
Isn't that crazy? Basically try to kill him? Isn't that crazy?
That goes against everything in the wrestler's creed. You don't go in there and hurt somebody. But this goes way, way beyond hurting somebody. He actually didn't care if he killed him or not.
No, yeah, that was scary. Yep.
What we saw was attempted murder, because he admitted it. And he said he tried to throw him past the table. He just didn't throw him far enough. But he did miss the table and hit the rope. By rights, what's his name, Nick Grimes?
Vic Grimes, yep.
Yeah, Vic Grimes, whatever his name was, I don't know him. But he should be dead. Now, if he'd have died, they could have took New Jack to court and charged him with murder. And I've often said a man could kill another man in a wrestling match, and all he would do was say, well, he missed.
See, Fox Baker style, yeah. Yep.
That would be his defense. He missed. Mm-hmm. He knew what we wanted to do. And I don't think they could have convicted him, but they could have certainly charged him with it. But let me ask you this. If somebody, now, you're not a wrestler, right?
Nope. Trained a little bit, but never officially a wrestler.
If I went into the ring, seriously, if I'd have went into the ring and that happened to me, and if it didn't kill me to have a retaliation by that man,
Yep.
I would have to do something. Now, has Vic Grimes ever tried to do anything?
Well, the thing is, before that, Vic Grimes, they took a 20-foot fall, and Vic Grimes, for whatever reason, didn't want to take the fall after he said he was going to take the fall off of this, you know, high 20-foot, wherever the hell they were.
Yeah, they were in L.A.
So Vic Grimes ends up falling on New Jack's head during this spot, and Vic Grimes basically was, like, nervously took the spot but ruined the spot because he did it so, like, awkwardly, and so they landed on New Jack's head, and New Jack cracked his skull open. So that was the retaliation. When New Jack threw him off the scaffold, that was New Jack's retaliation to him.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, so you cracked my head. So I guess Vic Grimes kind of was scared after that, never really retaliated against him.
Okay, so when he did the deal, when he hurt New Jack, was it a mistake? Or was he trying not to hurt him?
It was a mistake. Yeah, bad mistake.
It was a mistake. Okay. But I heard, I didn't see the show. I'm going
to
go back and watch the show.
Oh,
I heard New Jack bitched that he didn't even call him while he was hurt.
Yes, yes.
So, I don't know, man, but hey, they was actually New Jack got into a fight in Tennessee when I was still there with a guy. He was like 72 years old.
Gypsy Joe. Yeah.
Gypsy Joe. I got news. I know Gypsy Joe. I got news for New Jack. If it'd been like, say, 25 years earlier, I think he'd have whipped New Jack's ass around that arena.
Yeah, Gypsy Joe was 70 at that point.
He was 70, and he was the toughest son of a bitch I've ever seen in the ring. He was just tough, and you couldn't stop him. I'm working with him one time, and he picks up. You remember those old Coke cartons that used to be made out of wood?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course.
They were heavy. So I hit him with it. And he said, "Howdy." I said, "Okay." Bam. I hit him again. He said, "Howdy." So this time I didn't hit him exactly as hard as I could, but pretty damn solid. Pow. And then I go back and he says, "Hit me harder, goddammit." And I says, "Joe, I'm not hitting you again." I took that carton and I threw it out of the ring because I knew what he was going to do. He was going to pick it up and beat the shit out of me with it. So I just got rid of it. But I tell you, that Gypsy Joe, I've known him all my life. And he's dead now. And he was a good guy, really a good guy. But he was one rough, tough son of a bitch, really. And if it was 25 years earlier and he tried that with Joe, well, and if Joe couldn't beat him, you know, he was Puerto Rican. He'd just pull a knife, he'd cut him. I hate to say that, but, you know, fights like that shouldn't happen between guys. But I don't know why you want to, you know, fighting a guy and he don't know what's coming, there's no pageantry to that. There's no, you know, valiant stand to that. The guy don't know what's coming. So what? It just makes you a cheap shot artist. But anyway, I think if it happened to me, I think it may have taken me a while to try to make a stand, but I would have done something, seriously. Nothing else, I'd have put the IRS on. That's bad enough. Hey, do I have any people that wanted to ask me any questions this week?
Yes. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to pull that up.
And in the meantime, I will sing. I will sing a song. Hey, I had a question too.
Okay.
All right, you ready? Ready?
Oh, hold on, I'm hearing hold some.
I'm hearing.
Yep.
You got any questions the fans wrote in?
Yes. So I got a question from Jeb Whitley. Do you have a top 5 or top 10 list of best athletes you've ever worked or seen in the business? Stature doesn't matter, because I know many people talk about a young Undertaker or talk. I guess he means they don't talk about. Actually, how does he mean? Stature does not matter, because I know many people talk about a young Undertaker as they do Eddie Guerrero. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I've seen a lot, and I can't really come up with a top 10 list. I might come up with a top 3 list. I think the one that the people will remember the most as an athlete, not necessarily in the ring, but he's great in the ring too, is Cesaro. A tremendous, tremendous athlete. I mean, he's super, super strong. I mean, this guy has almost superhuman strength. And when you just get around him and you talk, when you even talk to him, he doesn't seem like, you know, that he would be so strong and so agile, but he's a tremendous athlete. Let me tell you who's another good athlete is Swagger. Another great athlete. And, you know, I've rode like 100,000 miles with Swagger, and he used to tell me stories. You know, he has a high school record in football for the most blocked PAT attempts. You know.
No, that's great. I didn't know that.
To kick the extra point, he blocked it. He has the record in Oklahoma most blocked attempts. Well, I think he blocked like 6 or 8. Pretty good. I mean, to block a kick. He was just a good jumper. He'd get right in the middle and go and jump. He'd just time it right, block it. You hardly ever see a PAT after point attempt blocked. But and there's been a lot of great athletes in wrestling. But see, when I want to compile a top list, top 10 list, you know, I would probably compile it on probably money drawn. And the money drawn could take in a lot of people. Of course, if you want to draw one right now, of course, you can't beat The Rock. You can't beat Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
Or The Undertaker. Or Flair. Or those guys like that. I mean, they're up there drawing money. Hey, I was in, I think 30 years ago. Who told me this? I think, was it 30 years ago? WrestleMania 95, I think. I was in WrestleMania 95 with the Blue Brothers against Lex Luger and Davey Boy Smith. Did you see that?
Yeah, WrestleMania 11, of course, yep.
Was that what it was, 11?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
What I remember most about that was we had gone to New York City, and we did – I think we got in the ring with David Boy Smith and Luger in Pine Square. And we had like, I don't know what we were doing. They were taping it for something. And they had a big crowd in Pine Square. And I got in the ring and we had an interview. That's what it was. And when I stepped out of the ring, I don't know why they did these steps like this, but steps are supposed to be fit around the corner. They didn't fit around the corner. They were just pushed up, which left a big hole right in the middle that you could step off in, and I stepped right down in that thing. I almost broke my leg. My God. And I remember trying to walk to the ring. That was on a Friday. I was going to walk to the ring with almost a broke leg during WrestleMania. And we were the first ones out. Our music played. We went out. And I'm standing on the apron, and here comes Davey Boy, and here comes Luger. And I'm just standing there watching them come out. And one of the Blue Brothers hit the ropes, you know, he's running the ropes. And he hit the rope that I was leaning on, and it sent me flying out into the barricade. I almost killed myself. God. And it wasn't on camera. That's a good thing. But I almost damn hit the damn barricade, knocked myself out before the match even started. And the only other thing I remember about that, the match was terrible. No, it wasn't even that good. But I remember we went to the afternoon to go over the match. And the match is 8 minutes. Guess how long it took us to talk over that finish?
Not sure.
2 hours. 2 hours, and I let them do most of it. You know, the agent was Tony Guerrero. And I let them do most of it. And finally, after 2 hours, I went, God damn, guys, fuck. It's an 8-minute match. How hard can it be? I said, do this and this and this and this, and let's go. They said, that sounds good. That sounds great. I said, good. Let's do it. Let's get out of here. 2 hours, listen to them talk back and forth. The only thing I remember about that, we said something for Lex to do. And Lex looked at all of us and says, I don't think Lex would do that. Like, he's a damn loose. He referred to himself as a third person. I don't think Lex would do that. So anyway, that's what I remember about that. That's the things you run into in the wrestling business, because you got to deal with these guys. Any more questions?
No, that is it for this week. I think that's a damn good show with a couple damn good questions.
Okay, listen, guys, if you want to go to my website, DirtyDutchMantel.com, and if you want to write me any questions, Dirty Dutch Mantel with two L's, at gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram as Dirty Dutch, Dirty Dutchman 1. And I'm also on Twitter as Dirty D Mantel or Dirty Dutchman 1. I need to kind of get those all centralized, don't I? That's confusing even to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yes.
you can find me there. So, John, I appreciate you helping me out. And I think we're going to get this the podcast kind of straightened out so we can get more on time with it. So until we meet again, John, I want every real American within the sound of my voice, please rise, put your hand over your heart, and say along with us, we the people.
Yep.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.
John, how long was that?
1 hour, 3 minutes.
That was good. Pretty good.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
So somebody going down the road to listen to it, you know, it's...
Yeah, that was great. Perfect.
One guy wrote me. He said, "Hey, man, I work at night. I work in some kind of. I guess he works at water works or somewhere. You know, like sewers and whatever in the town." He said, "Man, if it wasn't for you and Ron Fuller, I couldn't get through the night."
Nice.
Hey, do you know Ron?
Yes.
You ever interviewed him?
Yes.
Good guy. Really good.
Very
guy.
Good.
So I'm gonna try to get us a guest for next week, I think. Maybe not next week, the week after. I'm going to try to get you think people would know Abyss?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I got a lot of stories about him, man.
Yes. Cool. That sounds good.
I was the first guy to book him. I found him at some independent show somewhere. I found Kane in the first independent show.
We got to talk about him.
I booked him the first time. I booked Abyss the first time. I actually gave Abyss the name. So I took both of them to Puerto Rico, and Abyss stayed about, they both stayed about 8 months, 9 months in Puerto Rico. After about that time, you're about ready to go anyway, because, you know, you've seen everything the island has, and you get kind of bored with it. You can only lay out in the sun so much. So anyway, John, if you need something, you got my number, call me.
Yes. Yep. Will do.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Bye.